world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to episode 238 of the Dudes and Beer podcast, brought to you tonight by Amazon's Audible. If you're a fan of books like me, just don't have time to thumb a page anymore, stop on by audibletrial.com/dudesandbeer to get your free 30-day trial. Once again, that is audibletrial.com/dudesandbeer. Tonight, an audience favorite, Dr. John Hall, is on this evening to talk with us about all the announcements coming out of China, brand new technology that they just announced just before the Naruto Run episode that we did. On September 25th, the government announced that they had brand new sonic weapon technology that basically produces the effects exactly like what our good embassy folks in Cuba and China experience. So we'll be getting into that, as well as their launch of 5G and that being tied with their new AI-enabled camera net that can spot the biometrics of a single person out of a crowd of thousands that they are implementing to stop all these riots. In addition to that, they've put laws out for masks being banned. You can no longer wear masks in public over there, so that all these cameras can spot you and get your biometrics, everything else. Along with that is also the huge announcement of their hypersonic missile program, which John Bound has a great report on for us. Let's check that out right now before we head over to John Hall.
While Congress engulfs itself in fantasy impeachment world, while the squad, Hollywood, Silicon Valley, and the media push racial guilt, totalitarianism, and division deeper into our culture, while the U.S. border remains open to enemy infiltration and our bureaucracies protecting that border are demonized,
close the camps now! Close the camps now!
The U.S. Customs and Border Protection has apprehended several members of known Islamist terrorist organizations crossing the southern border in recent years. The Texas Department of Public Safety has reported that border security agencies have arrested several Somali immigrants crossing the southern border who are known members of Al-Shabaab, the terrorist group that launched a deadly attack on the Westgate Shopping Mall in Nairobi, Kenya.
While Chinese opioids pour into our country, and while active duty military suicides reach record highs, and the U.S. military focuses on politically correct diversity, the communist Chinese subtly announced that wiping democracies off the face of the earth is now a reality. During their 70th anniversary celebration of communist rule, President Xi spoke of how Chinese Communist Party leader Mao Zedong had stood in the same spot 70 years ago and declared the founding of the People's Republic of China, paving the way for the country to embark on the path of the great rejuvenation of China. Xi said, "No power can shake the status of our great motherland. No force can stop the progress of the Chinese people and the nation." As a parade displayed the Dongfeng 41, a 7,672 mile per hour intercontinental ballistic missile that is said to have the furthest range of any nuclear missile and could reach the U.S. in 30 minutes.
Tell us about this missile, why it's such a national security nightmare for our country.
Well, it's the idea that they had 20 of these missiles, a very old-fashioned, obsolete kind, for most of the last few decades. Now, suddenly, they've got 90. They're able to reach any target in America in 30 minutes or less. Yes. Each one can carry 10 H-bombs, that big round sort of nose cone you saw. The shape of that nose cone is that the 10 H-bombs can fit inside, and each one be separately targeted against an American city or a small town or an Air Force base.
A hypersonic weapons arms race is now in full swing as U.S. company Lockheed Martin is developing a tactical boost glide weapon for DARPA and a hypersonic conventional strike weapon for the Air Force. Raytheon and Northrop Grumman are teaming up to build engines for hypersonic weapons. Raytheon is also working on defense capabilities against hypersonic weapons, while Russia is developing a hypersonic glide vehicle. But back here in cuckoo land, fools like Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi weaken our defenses and set the U.S. on a course to submission to the communist infiltration of every aspect of our country.
How do you envision working with this president on these key Democratic agenda items, lowering prescription drug costs, you know, ensuring tougher gun safety measures, as you're actively considering whether to remove him from office?
Have
you?
John Bowne reporting.
John Bowne from Daily News Collective over there, always giving us some great reports, some great lowdowns on everything, and some awesome points of view. Before we welcome Dr. John Hall, we would also like to welcome all of the listeners out of WMLD, the voice of the Hudson Valley. They have officially picked up Dudes and Beer on their Wednesday night rotation, so you can now check us out. If you're in the Hudson Valley, check out WMLD 6 p.m. on Wednesday nights, and you can be part of the conversation. You can hear all of this great information. On that note, speaking of great information, Dr. Hall, welcome back to the program. How have you been, my friend?
Great. Great to be back.
Absolutely.
That's interesting times to have a good podcast. There's a lot going on in the world.
There is so much going on, and especially with election season, all that kind of stuff. You know that stuff like coincides with the beginning of football and all that, and like sweeps for TV and premieres and everything, so that it's so easy to wipe this stuff away, just to have a soundbite and it disappears amongst the fray of things. One of the big things that, of course, has been all over everybody's lips lately is the manager of the Houston Rockets coming out talking about China, things like that, you know, support the people of Hong Kong. And of course, the Chinese government has been like, boycott the NBA. And since Yao Ming came to the Rockets years ago, like, there has been a long-standing relationship between China and the NBA. And it's interesting to see how far all of this is going now. Like I was saying with you pre-show, I remember distinctly when Tiananmen Square happened. That was one of those moments in my life that I'm sure is much like the assassination of JFK for my mother's generation, where it's just steeled in your mind. You know, it's never going
to
go away.
And you're about to see that repeat again in Hong Kong.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, as well.
Absolutely. And that was one of the reasons that they actively made this announcement for the sonic weapon. And it was a Popular Mechanics article. I actually have it linked in the episode post, folks, but you can find it if you just Google Sonic announces new sonic weapon. It's from September 25th, so it's new. It's within the last week or so. And in the article, it talks about the new sonic gun was developed as a non-lethal weapon for use by police and law enforcement as an alternative to lethal weapons. So much like we use LIDAR, things like that, but instead of using microwaves, this is using low frequency sound waves to accomplish the same.
And the interesting thing with what the Chinese have now is they've perfected it down to a handheld device.
Yeah.
As well. Yeah, we have that too. We've had it for some time. And I mean, honestly, it's been used experimentally on the public in our country already. But
yeah.
But it was done from a Humvee or done from a truck, you know, with enough battery power to actually pulse the weapon. But now the Chinese have it down to where it's a handheld rifle that can be used. Now, granted, it is non-lethal weaponry, and in Hong Kong, they've already resorted to lethal weaponry. As you saw not long ago, there was one of the Chinese police officers actually at point blank shot one of the protesters in the chest.
Yeah.
With a .38. So you know, they're using it for crowd control and for Muslim control mostly there, but along with some other surveillance technologies. But I think you'll see them come down to some lethal means in Hong Kong here pretty soon, too.
Oh, yeah, no, most definitely. It's going to pop off between the two. We will full on see death in the streets like we did in Tiananmen Square. It will happen again. It's just a matter of time. The thing that struck me about the effects described in this, with it being a low sound, vertigo imbalance, intolerable sensations, were felt by people. They said that they had extreme discomfort with vibration in the eardrums, eyeballs, stomach, liver, and brain, which immediately rang to me the symptoms that our good ambassadors had at both the Cuban embassy as well as the Chinese embassy.
Well, and you know, there's two ways you can actually get those symptoms, and one is with sonic weapons. Now, sonic weapons are limited pretty much to line of sight. You know, a sonic weapon is not something you can use from space or use from a mile away. That's a line of sight weapon. The sonic waves, they travel a long way, but they lose their strength the further they go, and they certainly lose their strength when they go through substrate. You know, now the other way to get those symptoms is electromagnetically, and that's by stimulating the nerves directly with electromagnetic pulses, which will also give you, you know, make your eyes bounce around, give you, you know, heating in the brain. It'll give you pulsating headaches, make you hear crackling and popping noises in your ears, unless they're modulating other waves along with it. And then that's when you get sound or voice, and as what people describe as voice to skull based technology. So, but the sonic weapons certainly do exist, and we've used them here in the form of the LRAD.
Yeah.
You know, we've had, you know, they've actually fielded the LRAD against some, you know, people protesting the financial and economic summits. And I think they used it in LA and New York both on two occasions.
Yeah. And it's, that even goes into residences of inner organs, the LRAD system. That's more of an infrasound at like 20 hertz rather, or, the LRAD is higher. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like a high pitch. And what's weird though, is that, this comes right on the tail of them talking about the new intelligent camera network that they have put out. They just announced the fact that they have a camera network that has biometrics that can spot one person out of a crowd of thousands. And it's so sophisticated that they have actively banned the wearing of masks publicly now. That announcement came just a day or so after the camera net. So,
and I don't know how many of your listeners have actually looked those links up or looked at any of that technology, but it's fairly good facial recognition technology. It's real good. It's based on facial measurements.
Yep.
And it can separate you out by ethnicity, as well as by, you know, certain markers on your face to give you identity in addition to ethnicity. But part of the reason they're doing it there is actually for Muslim control. I believe the minority there are called the Uyghurs.
Yep.
And they you know, they see them as a threat. There are a lot of the people that they're putting in detention camps and re-education camps right now.
Yeah.
So it's actually, you know, was invented to control them. But if you think that it's not coming to America, you're mistaken, you know, because there's part of the reason that they've wanted to go to a 5G system where you're embedded, you know, with internet, with Wi-Fi signals all over, is to make this type of camera system work.
That's right.
Because it is, you know, it is Wi-Fi based. So you've got to have cameras everywhere that have access to the internet that can be downloaded into supercomputers that actually rifle through the data pretty quickly to get your recognition and then send it off to whatever they think the appropriate officials are going to be that need to see it. In China, it happens to be the police, so they can go and, you know, I think even the article mentioned it. One Chinese policeman said, well, if we're watching one of these Muslim families and all of a sudden there's 20 more family members come to visit, we want to be able to come in and intercept those people and make sure that they're, you know, not up to some terroristic activity. Yeah. Well, I mean, what we've talked about before on your show is, you know, it's one thing to field a weapon because you're doing it for the right reason, or, but what's right and wrong changes with administration to administration, especially in this country. And it changes with what societal norms are. And, you know, we were talking before the show, I never thought, you know, in all my years that I would see Democrats being war hawks, you know, and things have changed. You know, during Vietnam, it was mostly the Democrats that were out there protesting in the streets to get our guys out of Vietnam. And now we're, you know, kind of seeing just the opposite, where we finally have a president that wants to pull people out of Afghanistan and Syria. And it's mostly Democrats that are, you know, kind of laying into them, saying, well, you know, we can't turn our backs on the Kurds, and we need to keep a force in Syria, and we need to keep a force in Afghanistan. And, you know, especially when you're looking at technology like this, it's going to be so intrusive and so invasive and change our lifestyles permanently, then we really need to be all on the same page, which is kind of in controlling the government more so than letting us be divided to where we're, you know, fighting probably the one chance we've got, which is to get an outsider in the presidency and to get a bunch of ethical outsiders back into Congress so something can get done. Because politically, and I've mentioned this in my books about targeting and about electronic harassment, you can work on removing chips and you can work on, you know, things that may shield you from, you know, some of the effects of some of this weaponry, especially electromagnetic weaponry. But ultimately, the solution is going to be political. And it's going to be political in getting the right people in government to oversee it. It's not going to go away. The technology is not going to magically disappear. But we can get the right people in place to where there's some oversight on it. Well, and what we saw with Trump being elected is, you know, there's bad in the Republican Party. There's bad in the Democratic Party. And the hardliners that have been there for 40 years that keep on saying, well, we're going to change this and we're going to change this. Well, why hasn't it been changed already? You've been there 40 years. So we need ethical people in on both sides. We need term limits. And we need outsiders who are not the political status quo, who just wants to see things stay the way they are.
Yeah. And not only that, it's literally what drives the power. Is the fact that we have a short cultural memory of, as futurist Gray Scott showed from studies on this show, 6 to 8 years. So that's right at the term of most presidents. We have very few one-term presidents, you know. So, yeah, it's pretty easy for that party pendulum to swing from one to the other. And I think, quite honestly, what we should do, Dr. Hall, I think we should put our productive brains together, you and I, and maybe make, like, who is it? Is it Sheryl Crow that does the sad puppy videos?
Yeah, I think so.
Do a video like that, but with like kids in smog filled rooms, you know, and people lining up to get their shots in Tuskegee, stuff like that. And, like, you know, can we just make a law where it's illegal to experiment on the people?
Yeah, and that's
can we just all universally agree that that would be a good law?
Well, and I think that's where it's going to come. We need some people to get in that are willing to police the intel. The bottom line is, and what you've seen, and I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, if you hate Trump or if you love Trump, but what you saw when he was, you know, elected, when he got the Republican primary, the Republicans turned out against him. The Democrats, of course, turned out against him because they want power. And the intel community turned out against him. And they're still turning out against him. They're going to keep on coming up with a whistleblower this and, you know, created farces to try to get him out, because they know, after being busted with the Mueller report, you know, and all of that, you know, the Steele document that was created by Fusion GPS and the Democratic Party, they know he is going to turn on the intel community in his second term. He's got to. You know, somebody's got to. And, you know, if for anybody that's on either side, if when you see the intel community and both sides of a status quo political establishment turn against a duly elected president, do you really think they give a damn about you? I mean, you know, if you start making some noise that makes sense, or, you know, espousing some logic for one time on Facebook, do you really think that they're gonna have a problem with targeting you? And that should, you know, kind of open some eyes of people who maybe don't necessarily believe in targeting or targeted individuals, that if they're willing to do that to the president of the United States, trust me, they don't care what they do to you as a regular citizen.
Yeah. Yeah. Precisely. And the realm of experimentation that they can go into, even the whole funding of an anti-propaganda department to allow propaganda to be disseminated, that in and of itself is psychological experimentation on the American people. That's why it was banned by the Smith-Mundt Act to begin with, you know?
Well, and then, you know, the social media has really expounded on that too, because everybody is on some form of social media pretty much now.
Yeah.
And you can see the divide in social media, because you'll have the people who go to Democracy Now! And Change.org and, you know, all the typical Democratic propaganda sites. And then, you know, of course, there's really only a handful for the conservative side. But then the conservatives go to that. So when you look at your feed, you know, you'll have people regurgitating all the same stuff that you see from the Democratic or the left-leaning propaganda sites. And then you'll occasionally see a few things pop up from conservative, you know, right-leaning sides pop up. But they've done a really good job at dividing the public along those lines, to where nobody really looks at anything logically anymore and says, well, you know, maybe it is a good idea to get everybody out of Syria and get everybody out of Afghanistan. We fought there for 18 years. The kids that are fighting there now weren't even alive when the, you know, Twin Towers got hit. So maybe it's time to get out of there. Well, you know, we really don't have a dog in the fight in Syria. Nobody wants us there. Everybody's trying to shoot us there. Maybe we shouldn't have 1,000 guys there just waiting to get killed. And but then you have everybody turn out against it, you know, and then that's because they've kind of been brainwashed, or like as Obama said when he created the nudge squads, which are basically a room full of people online that are there just to kind of keep feeding out these little distractors, you know, that we're turning our backs on the Kurds, or we can't leave Afghanistan because we'll lose rare earth minerals, and it's all stuff that is, you know, kind of like climate change. You know, it's, you know, when that thing first started, you know, it was the polar bear floating on the lone, you know, iceberg.
No, when that thing first started, John Hall, I remember being terrified and convincing my family not to use Aquanet, man. When that first started, it was the mid to late 70s when we started talking about the ozone layer and depleting the ozone layer.
You can't get rid of your Lysard and no more aerosol.
You got to get rid of your R12, or no, what was it? What was it before R40? Was it R12?
Yeah.
You know, like,
I think it was R12. Yeah.
You know, you had to change freons. Everything changed. And then come to find out scientifically, the ozone layer actually replenishes itself.
And they've done such a good job at pushing that agenda. That I've even got good close friends of mine that are well-educated people that are constantly posting this, you know, you're a denier if you deny the science and blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm not denying that there's climate change. There's climate change. The climate changes, you know, the earth changes in its axis, and, you know, the solar system changes, and that's what kind of drives it, as well as, you know, cooling and warming of the earth's core is what sets off a lot of it.
Yeah,
but the science just isn't there that any of it's being caused by man. And, you know, then we get the people saying, well, you know, it's being caused by cow farts. Well, there were 30 million buffalo roaming the country.
Yeah,
up until about 150 years ago, which is actually more than the cattle numbers are.
Yeah.
So, you know, the buffalo farting didn't seem to be doing it, because when I was a kid, they were telling us there was going to be an ice age. It wasn't global warming. It was global cooling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting how even that cycles the same way the politics do. And, you know, I am not a climate denier. There is absolutely climate change going on. Yes, we do contribute to the climate. Absolutely. But like, hey, the great spot on Jupiter is disappearing because of solar activity, and like polar ice caps on Mars are melting too. I guess that's all of our solar robots.
But have you ever thought that a lot of that, for one, is an agenda to actually tax the people?
Sure.
Because I don't care how many trillions of dollars you spend on climate change, you're not going to change it. And, you know, and there's no sense in breaking the public's back with taxes, you know, basically so Solyndra or, you know, any of these green companies, you can create more Democratic millionaires by having like some green agenda company that's going to be all funded with tax dollars,
yeah,
and then close its doors a year later like Solyndra did. You know, but the other thing that it does really well is it gets everybody talking about something so they don't notice that they're putting 5G in your neighborhood and cameras everywhere that have facial recognition.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, and the government has gotten expert at doing that to where we're going to give you something that all of you can fight about on social media while we do this over here.
Yeah.
And nobody ever looks at the bigger picture with that. And, you know, I deal with a lot of targeted individuals because of my writing and my activism. And a lot of those people are staunch Democrats, you know, because they believe in the Democratic Party of JFK, you know, that party of the people, you know, caring, you know, make sure there are some social, you know, systems in place for the poor, the disabled, and, you know, which obviously is the honorable thing to do. But the Democratic Party today is not that party anymore. It's nowhere near that party anymore. And, you know, that it's really going towards a socialist bend. And that's what I wrote in Guinea Pigs. You know, when that book was actually written probably in between 2010 and 2012, was published in 2014. So it's 6 years old now. And I outlined the fact that this was going to happen, that we were, all of this was trending towards socialism, because socialism is a hard pill to swallow for the middle class because they pay the majority of the tax. And when you have some of these Democratic leaders now saying, well, you know, we're going to tax you at a 70% tax rate, you know, so we can, yeah, you know, have all of these social, you know, systems in place, you know, that's a hard sell. You just about need some way to control that. And then that's where, you know, the guinea pigs, you know, people that have been experimented on for the last 20 years with variations of this technology, that's the whole goal. You know, that's why the book was called Guinea Pigs. You know, they're not singling out these people, you know, because they've done something wrong or they're a political radical. It's a much bigger picture than that. It's not singling out individuals. It's singling out groups of people to see how well it's going to work to control everyone. And we're now at that point. And that's why I tell people on my Facebook page and for Guinea Pigs and on my website, you may not like Trump, but he's a necessary evil. We need outsiders in the presidency, and we need some outsiders in Congress. That's the only thing that's going to slow it down. If it can even be slowed down, he may just be a bump in the road to the inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's quite honestly, what I've said since the beginning, is that he was most definitely a bump in the road to the inevitable. What's happening is happening. I don't know that the political divide in America will necessarily disappear. I think people will definitely be coming to some different awakenings here within the next couple of years, though. And much like our last...
one thing I will give the Democratic Socialists credit for is they have a lot longer range goals than conservatives do. Conservatives kind of think, well, let's get through the next election. Let's try to get some things in place to lower taxes and try to shrink the size of government a little bit, you know. But the Democratic Socialists, they started thinking about things 50 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, they do. Let's make sure we control the school systems. Let's try to dumb down, you know, kids starting in elementary school. Let's get, you know, DNA banks, you know, in place. You know, a lot of people, you know, don't realize that, you know, since about 1985, if you have a baby, they come in and do a heel stick and they draw blood.
Yes, they do.
And they tell you it's for phenylketonuria to make sure that your child doesn't have that. Well, I mean, you know, there's not 1,000 people on the planet with phenylketonuria. You know, so yeah. I mean, it's an excuse to actually draw the blood to get DNA. You know, in case, because once you're a little older and you're an adult, you may refuse to give it up. You know, or they'll have to take it through subterfuge, you know, through a doctor's office. And right now, you know, doctors aren't employed by the government. So if somebody comes to a doctor and says, we want you to collect DNA samples on all your patients, well, most of us are going to say, you know, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah. So, held to the no.
Yeah. But, you know, that, and a lot of people don't realize that that's exactly what that heel stick has always been, more than likely. Now, obviously, there's no way I can prove that. But I am a physician, and I can tell you, there's not that many people with phenylketonuria that you've got to test every newborn for it. You know, so
yeah, and you know, it's interesting the things that are done out of pure normalization. I have a very, very good friend of mine, Julie Connolly. Hey, Julie, hope you're tuning in this evening. I know you are wore out from ACL weekend. She goes to ACL every year. And this year she was talking about how there were cops running around with like big scary guns, and there have never, like, there's always been a few more cops, but never cops run around with like big rifles, you know, like AR-15s, stuff like that, strapped to their chest, and tactical gear, that kind of thing. And I was like, yeah, that is the process of normalization. That is exactly what that is. You get used to seeing one or two. You hear about a credible threat or two over the last few years. And believe me, you know, since I think it was 2012 when Kim Jong-un targeted South by Southwest, if you remember that, when he was like, I'm gonna nuke Austin. And it's like, you don't have a nuke that could reach Austin, but okay. whatever you say, crazy man. Now they have one, but you know, it was one of those. Since then, there have been credible threats to South by ACL, things like that. There's always some kind of police alert going on in that, right? And like, I've gotten a little more used to it just because I work high profile events with high profile people, things like that. So I'm used to seeing that kind of security present and physically showing their presence. But I can fully understand somebody that isn't used to that,
is a little freaked out.
And is, as of right now, unnormalized to that. But, you know, we've been getting normalized to these systems since the implementation of the TSA. Our children have been getting normalized to these systems since Columbine, when schools started going on lockdown and adults started needing to have to check in and show an ID and take a thumbprint and wear a badge to get into schools and hallways, that kind of stuff. These programs are slow and steady, and that's the idea, is that slow and steady wins the race. We as the general public have a very immediate view of change, because other than Washington politicians, most of our politicians are fleeting. A lot of people don't know their local politicians' names. You know, they know what signs they've seen for constable more regularly in their neighborhood.
And that's where things have to change. We do have to be more vigilant. You know, and it has to be constant vigilance. You know, even if we were to get lucky and, you know, and get a good president in and get some ethical congresspeople in who are political outsiders, who will listen and say, you know what, you're right. The government's gotten too big. We need to shrink the size of government. We need to give more power to the states and to the people.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need to be so intrusive into people's lives. We need to give people back economic freedom, because any freedom is really hinged on economic freedom. And if you don't have economic freedom, which we don't in this country, then you really don't have freedom at all. As a matter of fact, I've got a book coming out, my next book coming out in 2020, that's called Captive in America. And I go through that, you know, while we're still probably one of the better countries to live in, if you really analyze what freedoms you have, you really don't have many. And, you know, and that kind of goes back to the whole China thing. You know, the Democrats made a big thing about, Trump's in bed with Russia. Russia helped him get elected. And, you know, no, the middle class helped him get elected. Russia really didn't have a hand in it, as they found out. And the Ukraine didn't have a hand in it. But, and there's as many corrupt Democrats as there are corrupt Republicans, if not more. And, you know, and like we were talking about climate change. Well, if these politicians really believed in climate change and we've got to stop using gasoline engines and we've got to start being vegetarians, blah, 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 blah. Why are all their kids working for gas companies?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Hunter Biden, Pelosi's son, John Kerry's son, all worked for Ukraine gas. You know, the money that came from China was also from a natural gas and, you know, petroleum company. So, I mean, if you really want to try to push that argument and that agenda, at least freaking live it. You know, make it look real anyway. But, you know, if you look at what's happening in China, it's going to happen here. We've already got the groundwork laid here. If you notice, none of the politicians actually really hammer China a whole lot. We're pretty much in bed with China already. They own a lot of infrastructure here.
Oh, yeah.
They own a lot of, you know, I'm also in the film production and entertainment. You know, they bought up a lot of studios and a lot of entertainment institutions in Hollywood.
Yes, they did.
You know, they're invested in a lot of things, which is why you saw the NBA have to kind of come out and give an apology for, you know, him supporting Hong Kong. Because, you know, the one thing the Chinese know they have on us is American greed. And when you have a billion people over there that, you know, are going to buy your product or watch your movie or watch your film or buy whatever, you know, we're having made someplace else, but marketing out of America, which is pretty much the way it works anymore. You know, they know that our greed will be our undoing. And, you know, that's why all of a sudden you saw an immediate apology come out for the comments that he made about being in support of Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to piss China off because of the amount of money China pumps into the United States.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you remember the whole Clyde and Bundy situation that happened, that the property that was in abutment was partially owned by a Chinese investment firm.
Which is why they wanted to make sure to get him kicked off of that land.
Yeah.
And we're going to actually start shooting people to do it until they found themselves facing down with a line of similarly armed people.
Yeah.
Which brings us to another point. I mean, anybody who is thinking democratic socialism is the way should really look at a logical timeline of kind of what's been happening. You know, we've basically dumbed down our kids to think socialism is good. You know, it does kind of sound good on the surface. Well, you know, the government's going to give me a guaranteed salary. You know, my rent will be a little bit lower. I'll get a grocery stipend. But that's where it stops. I mean, you know, once you're in a socialist country, the money, the true wealth stops at the aristocracy at the top. You know, the common people just kind of share the misery. You know, and, you know, people say, well, we have to have equality. Well, equality is kind of a pipe dream, too. We all have different educations. We all have different abilities. We all have, you know, different work ethic.
Yep.
You know, equality is something that you never really are going to completely attain.
And it is a normalization, like we were saying. It's a point of normalization that we get to where there is no other option or where it's okay for there to be cameras out there biometrically tracking you all the time that can track. And actively, I was reading more of the stats. It's actually can track one person out of a crowd of tens of thousands. So you could be at like a Super Bowl game and they will find you in the crowd with their biometric system.
Well, and another thing China has been doing along with that system, which I mentioned briefly before, is DNA banking. And, you know, they've been doing it with their billion of population now for years. And so have we. And don't think for a minute that happens to be coincidental that whatever happens in China is kind of happening here too, because all of that Chinese money is going into political hands. You know, like with Hunter Biden, or like with Kerry's son, or like with Pelosi's son. You know, the reason they're investing in those politicians is the technology comes here too. You know, I mean, most of the, all of our internet technology, all of the 5G technology coming here, all comes from China.
Yep.
A little bit comes from Denmark, but most of it comes from China. And it's going to already be embedded, you know, with the spyware that not only can the Chinese use. I mean, you know, your worry really shouldn't be that the Chinese know what you're doing. The worry should be that our government is going to know what you're doing, you know, because they're going to have back doors and open doors to it, too. That's the reason they're purchasing it.
Yeah.
And that's the reason that they're making sure to buy off our politicians to get it here. You know, and some of that is because the ultimate goal and the reason you saw the intel community turn out on Trump is the CIA, the NSA, and all, you know, DIA are all going to be strong arms for a one world government. Eventually, they do plan on having Agenda 21 and a one world government. And somebody's got to be the technological strong arm and the surveillance unit for that. And it'll be our intel community.
Yeah, and I mean, our connections to other things like MI6, Assad, all that kind of stuff, it just furthers that and changes the way that works and operates, changes the way that things get disseminated through the news.
If you remember, 20 years ago, they created a treaty between Canada, the United States, the UK, and Australia, where if it was a sensitive area where the United States government really couldn't spy on you because you're a U.S. citizen, they would turn it over to Canada and just get the information from Canada. So when you went to court, or to Australia, or to the UK, so when you went to court, you were saying, well, I was spied on. The U.S. government said, well, it wasn't by us. It was by the Canadians. We just got the information. So, I mean, that's already been going on. And you know, and when you see the intel community pop out the way they did with a completely fabricated system to try to oust an outsider, non-political figure president, that should tell everybody what they need to know.
Yeah,
and you know that's the road we're going down, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, yeah, and if any of you are doubting any of this information, if it sounds like I've got a foil hat, it just doesn't fit right. But here's an article from Forbes. This is from 2013. Report: NSA intercepting laptops ordered online and installing spyware. This is, and that goes into talking about how they have agents planted in games like World of Warcraft, just all kinds of things. That they have actively done in order to basically get your information straight up. There is no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. I'd love for
you know,
it to
and that's
be something
interesting.
Different.
It's interesting you brought up that topic. It was about 8 years ago. I was invited to speak at a conference in Las Vegas, and a German intel friend of mine actually sent me all the slides that they got on the NSA's interception program. And I actually presented those slides at a conference. I mean, I had several people asking for them, which I had no permission to give them to anybody else, but I did show them during a conference, which showed all of the pieces. I mean, and a lot of people may not believe it, but the NSA actually was receiving every shipment of laptop computers, PCs, and phones at the time coming into our borders and was taking them and actually installing devices in them that you can't find and that don't change their function, or you can find them if you know what to look for. And once I put these slides up, certainly some people did know what to look for, but that actually had low power transmitters in them that basically sent all your keystrokes to a receiver.
Yep.
You know, now you may not have a receiver near you, and a lot of people will have the attitude, well, you know, if you're not a terrorist and you're not really doing anything wrong, then what's it matter if the government knows? And I'll tell you, in all of my lectures to high school and college age kids, they've already got that brainwashed into them pretty well. You know, when I talk to people that are, you know, my age or older, you know, the whole, you know, they remember having one dial phone in the kitchen at home, you know, and, you know, you talked on the phone and everybody heard you because you were standing in the
parking lot.
Yeah, you didn't have a cell phone. You couldn't sneak away. You couldn't encrypt anything. I mean, but it was a local breach of privacy. You know, well, with the apparatuses that they have installed in through the interdiction system on the laptops, you know, all they have to do is pull up a Starfish, or I forget what the name of it is, that the police use, where basically they pull up the end of your driveway.
Stingray.
You know, yeah, and turn it on, and they can pick up those signals coming from your laptop because it's already been pre-installed to actually transmit your data. So, you know, same thing. Do you remember 5 years ago when there were several people that, you know, that had a particular brand of cell phone that would pick up cell towers, and they started picking up the fact that there were extra cell towers around, and, you know, and of course they said, well, this cell tower, you know, doesn't belong here. And then the government would go, well, you know, it's not ours. We don't know why it's there. I mean, and a lot of them were outside military bases. Well, you have to have a construction permit and a transmitter permit to have a cell tower. You know, you can't just, you and I just can't get all the equipment to put a cell tower together, you know, find us a piece of land outside of a military base and put it up.
Yeah.
You know, the minute you turn it on, there's going to be a government official coming to you wanting to know why you have a transmitter.
Yeah.
And for the government to say, well, you know, we have no clue. There's no construction permit on them. Well, it's there. There had to have been. You know, I can't even put a septic system in my yard without a construction permit.
Well, you know, what's interesting is the same year, 2013, Forbes put an article out talking about the NSA and the National Reconnaissance Office putting out their new spy satellite, which was, of course, the one with the octopus, the NROL-39. Yeah. Nothing is beyond our reach. In this article, they talk about Der Spiegel reporting that the NSA had actively tapped, and this is 2013, tapped into the undersea fiber optic cables that connected the global data infrastructure, in particular the SEA-MEWE-4 cable system, the massive underwater cable bundle that connects Europe with North Africa and the Gulf states, then continues through Pakistan and India. Der Spiegel reported, all the way to Malaysia and Thailand, the cable system originates in South France near Marseille, among the companies, and it goes into the people that hold it. But the fact that they tapped into that, that's basically the entire European and Eastern part of the world that they tapped into. And that was 2013.
Well, and before that, AT&T had actually given the NSA office space at their Folsom Street Center in San Francisco, where they actually were allowed to tap into the fiber optic system coming in there from the Pacific side.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's, you know, it's a much larger picture. It's not, here's the government and here's private interest, and private interest is looking out for you. I mean, it's Chinese money coming in with this technology, and to some extent, Israeli technology. A lot of that fiber optic technology that they used to pick up, that the NSA used, came from Israel. And, but that, the fact that we've got our private companies willing to take government money and willing to sell out the public and sell out privacy in order to make those bucks should tell you something too, that, I mean, it's that the answers to all of this are going to be political. And, you know, and I, matter of fact, I had a targeted individual contact me on my website not long ago and said, well, you know, everything you post is political anymore. And there's nothing on there that really that's supportive or ways to combat the surveillance. And I said, well, the only way to combat the surveillance is going to be political.
Political. That's it. We've got to get legislation passed.
Yeah. As private individuals, you're never going to have the same amount of research and development money that the government has, you know, and that's what it would take. It would take a privately funded think tank of former government scientists, you know, to actually come up with ways to defeat this type of surveillance technology, and we just don't have it. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's not going to be some guy making $70,000 a year invent something in his garage that's going to protect you from DNA residence tracking or, you know, or 5G-based facial recognition, or electromagnetic weaponry, or, you know, sonic weaponry. You know, that the only thing you'd be able to do, maybe tunnel 500 feet underground and live underground, you know, which, you know, I mean, there's a reason that in Afghanistan that all those fighters live in the mountains and live underground. Yep. And they use runners running notes back. You know, they don't use radios.
Yeah.
You know, they use runners running information back and forth because they know all of that can be received. And they live in the mountains and in caves because they know that's about the only safe place to be.
Ain't got no Netflix.
And I don't mean from bomb.
No, it's from the electronic surveillance. It's from ground penetrating radar. It's from infrared tracking radar. It's from satellites that are good enough to be able to read titlists on a golf ball from space, from low Earth orbit.
And from the DNA perspective, that's a biggie. And most of your listeners probably haven't heard a lot about that. But DNA is a helix, and it resonates when you stimulate it. And everybody's resonates different because everybody's is different, unless you have a completely identical twin.
Yeah.
But that's one of the reasons that China started doing DNA harvesting. And that's the reason our country started doing the harvesting, because now that they have this elegant and extreme of a facial recognition system, well, even if you have a question on facial recognition, you hit them with, you know, an electromagnetic beam, you retract back their DNA resonance. And if that comes back to who you have them as listed in a, you know, in a list someplace by identity, well, boom, you know, that's 99.9999%, you know, identification. If their DNA resonance comes back positive and you have them, let's say 85% recognized on facial recognition. So, and you're right. I mean, the way the Chinese have it now, and it's already in play, is, I mean, they say they can pull one person out of a crowd of thousands.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been doing that to some extent with EEG recognition, because everybody's EEG is different too.
Well, their AI goes all the way down to like individual gait. Like they can identify you by your gait, just by how you walk. Like the going through and reading that Popular Mechanics article was extraordinarily enlightening. It always is reading their stuff because they really, really get into the fine details of the technology at hand. I've always been a fan of Popular Mechanics since I was a kid for that reason. If you want to go.
And the other way they can identify you too is through fillings.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to the dentist, you know, I mean, and you get, whether it's acrylic or amalgam or whatever fillings, every, you know, that's the reason they do dental records. You know, when they find bodies, I mean, it's easy to identify somebody from dental records. And now that we have a lot of these electronic devices where you think your health information is, you know, private, being put into the computer at the dentist office or the doctor's office. Well, anybody sitting in the parking lot with an RAP or RAT, a remote access tool,
yeah,
can actually get into those computer systems and download your information in real time while we're putting it in.
Wow.
And if people don't think those tools exist, they do. I've been to several conferences with professional hackers.
Yep.
That can basically sit there with a cranberry attached to an Android phone, open source programming, and they will find a way in. And sometimes it's weird.
I have seen them use a Bluetooth activated nightlight to hack into a home computer. Literally, yep. I've seen it on stage.
And that's what a lot of people don't realize, that a lot of times they will find the chink in the armor, and a lot of times that's your Nest camera.
Yep.
That you have, you know, watching your.
It is your means of security.
It may be your Ring doorbell that's on your doorbell, or it may be your Bluetooth earphones.
Another one from 2013, man. FBI can spy on you through your webcam without triggering the indicator light, and has had the technology for several years. That's Daily Mail. Like, this stuff has been out there. It has been out there. And like, I've got sitting here in front of me. It's not connected to my computer.
Well, and I'll tell you, though, one of the biggies back in the old days that a lot of people, you know, remember the old-fashioned UHF baby monitors?
Yep.
They were just audio.
Oh, yeah.
You would, you know, put the transmitter in the baby's room, and you could set it up, and you could hear if it started crying or whatever. You know, those worked on a frequency similar to walkie-talkies.
Oh, yeah. You know, Radio Shack walkie-talkies all the time.
Yeah. If you went down to Walmart and just picked up a, you know, $29 baby monitor, you could drive around the neighborhood and listen to everybody's house on it.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever was within range. Or if you used a long range antenna, put it on the roof of your house and you could listen to everybody's house. And those things are pretty sensitive microphones.
Yep.
You can pretty much hear everything that's around that room too. So you can hear adults talking or fighting or arguing. And you know, if anybody doubts that, anybody out there wants to do a little home experiment, try to find yourself one of those old audio-only baby monitors, not a digital one, but the old-style regular radio frequency baby monitors. You know, they were usually kind of cutesy, hard plastic, almost looked like, you know, like kids' toys. And just turn that monitor on, set it in your car, and drive around your neighborhood. You'll be shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, those things are general receivers, and they'll pick up just about anything.
Well, and, you know, my God, man, we always have such great episodes. My brain is a whir and a buzz right now, and I know you have patients in the morning, things like that. We are, unfortunately, at the end of our time already, Doctor. But tell everybody where they can go online to get their copy. I mean, of course, they can go to the Dudes and Beer store, but where can they go to find out more about Guinea Pigs Technologies of Control, a new breed, satellite terrorism, all that good stuff? Where can they go to see videos of you speaking, everything else?
Barnes and Nobles and Amazon both carry the books. They go pretty quick, so you know, if you happen to click on Amazon and they're out, just keep trying. Eventually they get another batch in. Also have the Facebook page, Guinea Pigs Technologies of Control, which, you know, which I think you follow pretty closely.
Yes, I do.
When I post something on that Facebook page, it may not seem immediately to you that it's pertinent to targeting or surveillance, but trust me,
pay attention.
Keep on following because I'm going to clear that up for you usually the next day.
Yeah.
Everything on there is on there for a reason. So, certainly welcome anybody to come on there and, read Guinea Pigs because it will, like I said, it was written and published in 14 and predicted everything we're seeing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it really did. I'm on my second read of it as we speak, and such a good book. Great airplane book for people like me who travel a lot. So thank you so much once again for your time. As always, good doctor. Please do hold the line as we close things out here. Once again, thank you to all of our new listeners out in WMLD land, the voice of the Hudson Valley. We look forward to talking with you guys every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Until next time, everybody, check us out, dudesandbeer.com. Check us out on the HC Universal Network. And remember, if you can't be good at it. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. And until next time, drink responsibly.